Good morning, and thanks for joining us today for our last show of the semester. I'm Ishita Chopra.
And I'm Matt Sheridan. Here are some of the stories we're following for you this morning from the On the Record newsroom. Ontario Premier Doug Ford has requested that LCBO bring back single-use paper bags. In a letter written to the CEO of the company on Monday, Ford said he wants immediate action to be taken. The current policy, which was implemented last September, sees LCBO charge consumers for reusable bags. Opposition party leaders have spoken out about the decision, with Green Party leader Mike Schreiner claiming it is a massive distraction. An LCBO spokesperson said they will share more details with consumers in the coming weeks.
To meet the target of building 1.5 million homes in 10 years, Ontario is considering to include student housing in the tally. This intention was confirmed in a letter the Ontario government sent to the city of Mississauga. In 2023, 109,011 new homes were created, according to Ontario's own housing tracker. Including 9,835 long-term care home beds already counted in the annual tally. The province reached 99% of its goal last year. However, critics and oppositions argue that the original goal was to increase the affordability and availability of homes, and student housing does not meet the criteria.
The City of Toronto held its annual controlled burn Tuesday at High Park, with specialized crews walking around the park burning dry leaves, twigs, and grass. The aim of the burn was to help the park protect the rare black oak savanna tree, while also reducing invasive plants. The tree species is fire-dependent and needs it to help stay alive. Officials temporarily closed off sections of the park to allow the smoke to dissipate, but said the weather was perfect for the burn as it was warm, sunny, and dry.
The solar eclipse this past Monday brought people together for a TMU watch party. I was there for the fun. Take a look. Dozens of students gathered at the solar eclipse watch party at TMU's Kerr Hall Quad on Monday, waiting for a once-in-a-lifetime event. But as the eclipse reached its peak, clouds covered the sky, and for a few moments, Toronto was in the dark. The watch party hosted by Sci Exchange was packed with people, and there were a few activities to enjoy. Here is Dr. Emily Agard, the director of Sci Exchange, telling us more.
We have a section where kids can make pinhole cameras to look at the sky. We have live streams from NASA. We have our physics department set up with some information. So it's really great.
But what made the eclipse on April 8th so special?
Eclipses actually happen about every 1.5 years, but the chance of a total eclipse being in a particular area is very, very rare. And we don't have a total eclipse, but we have a near total eclipse. So it's not as safe to look. We can't look up into the sky if it's just a partial eclipse. And we don't get that dramatic effect of total darkness for 2 or 3 minutes in a partial eclipse. But we get to still see something really fabulous. So if you look up in the sky with your glasses on, and you look up in the sun, you can actually see the moon starting to creep and cover it. It's a really great phenomenon. We're not going to be getting this close to a total eclipse in Toronto until 2144. So I don't think any of us are going to still be here. So it's great to have this opportunity.
So that means the next solar eclipse in Toronto will be in about 120 years from now. For On the Record, I'm Ishita Chopra.
TMU celebrated Day of Pink this Wednesday. With more on the story, here's Apurva Putt.
Various TMU community members gathered on Wednesday to celebrate Day of Pink at the Student Learning Center's lobby. With a deeper meaning than just wearing a pink shirt, Day of Pink is celebrated in solidarity against homophobia and transphobia. The event began with some introductions on the day and its purpose.
There is no superior form of pink. Your pink, my pink, all our pinks are valid in this space today.
Student speakers Roger Costello, Kirsten Rowe, and Julia Lawrence spoke at the event about the importance of Day of Pink and what it means to them.
Today, I'm proud to say that me and the queers are here, proud of their achievements in painting the world pink, if that's how we desire to do so.
Fifth-year media production student Kirsten Rowe works at the Center for Safer Sex and Sexual Violence Support. At TMU, she teaches pole dancing to community members. She said these roles are often stigmatized and looked down upon.
Like being able to talk at this event helps to kind of break the stigma around that. So for me, being here is actually a testimony of almost like my dreams when I was a kid, because I never really had the opportunity to stay in a place, in an environment like that.
Once students' speeches were conducted, all attendees gathered at the SLC steps together to click the annual photo. For On the Record News, I'm Apoorva Bhatt.
The new generation of sports bettors are embracing online betting like never before. With the convenience of online apps like FanDuel and Bet365, betting has become extremely accessible to Gen Z. TMU Today's Maya Zayed has the story.
In an era of rapid digitalization, the world of sports betting has become increasingly accessible, especially to younger generations. Since Ontario legalized sports betting in April 2022, and with the advent of user-friendly online platforms, the industry has grown at an unprecedented rate. And it's students like Nate Andrews who fuel this ever-increasing demographic. Nate is a third-year engineering student at Toronto Metropolitan University. Ever since his 19th birthday, when his friends encouraged him to create an account on the betting app Bet365, sports gambling has become a daily ritual for Nate.
The first bet I ever made, it hit, so that was nice. That's kind of what kept me going, I guess, because once you win one, you're in it for the long run, but it was good.
A quick scroll through odds, a few taps, and he's locked in.
If I'm watching a sport game or something, it's more entertaining if I bet on it. Whereas if I'm watching the game and I don't bet on it, it's not quite as entertaining and it gives a bit more of like a boost to the game and makes you more into the game.
Well, sports betting is kind of taking over the way sports are like broadcasted, and we study a lot of that in my program, and now like sports commercials, sports ads are all targeted sports betting, and the way people watch sports has also changed.
According to the Canadian Journal of Addiction, adults tend to gamble for financial gain, while adolescents are more inclined to gamble for entertainment purposes. They may do so to escape negative emotions, like boredom and loneliness, as well as socialize or compete with others. The journal also highlights that younger individuals are more prone to taking risks, which could potentially lead to problem gambling behaviors. As youth involvement in gambling rises, so do gambling problems. KMH notes the absence of universal treatment practices for youth, partly due to the low number seeking or accessing treatment. What began as a harmless suggestion from her friends to sports bet, first-year media production student Eliza Minkerios finds herself trying to find a means to quit as she sees herself constantly taking risks and placing massive bets.
I see that like I can make a lot of money, but once I start making a lot of money, then I get really greedy. And then that's when I drop more and more money. Like I'm like, oh, I want more. And that's when I lose money. I think I can find a hobby that's more productive, you know? I don't want a sports bet anymore.
After switching to FanDuel, a highly popular sports betting app, Nate, on the other hand, ensures to become more strategic with where and how he places his money.
By taking that approach of being more analytical and statistical about it, it's allowed me to win a lot more than lose, I've found, and I typically profit.
And it's not only Nate. Across the province, a rising number of young adults are also drawn by the lure of quick cash and the thrill of winning. The same is true for TMU second-year sports media student Ethan Addo.
In a group, if we all place the same bet, it can be like a really fun experience. We're all rooting for the same stuff. But also sometimes if I just end up watching a game by myself, I might put money down just to see, just to make it a little more interesting, I guess. Knowing your limit, playing within it, I know that's like the cliche or whatever. But yeah, it's hard to not chase your losses when you lose. It's just kind of taking a moment to reflect, I think. Once the loss sets in, kind of stepping away from the sport book and not trying to win it right back right away, I think that's a big part of it.
According to recent studies, with sports betting now accessible at the touch of a button, concerns are being raised about its impacts on mental health, academic performance, and financial stability of the younger generation. Content manager of CanadianSportsBetting.ca, Matt Eichhorn, stresses the importance of setting your limits to minimize these impacts.
I think one of the biggest things that you can do is make sure you're tracking your wins and losses. There's a lot of really helpful applications out there that you can use, you can download for free, and track all your wins and losses. Because you know what? At the end of the day, some guys will be like, oh, yeah, I won $200 last week. They don't realize they've lost $3,000 in the last 2 years. It doesn't really add up sometimes, the wins and the losses. And you just should be aware of kind of where you're financially standing there.
Although the line can often be blurred between balancing academic responsibilities and betting habits, Nate ensures to keep his priorities in check.
With school, there's a lot of responsibility with getting assignments and labs and tests all done in time. And there's a lot of material to get through. So I've got to prioritize my time well to ensure that I can make money on gambling. But at the same time, I also need to make sure that I'm getting my school stuff done, because at the end of the day, I'm here to do school.
CAMH offers many services for online gambling and dependency, which can be accessed anonymously through their website. In their 24/7 support phone line, 1-866-531-2600, anyone affected by gambling can access it. It's free, confidential, and anonymous.
As for Nate, he continues to be a part of this increasing number, but he can only hope for the best as he continues to play in the emerging field of sports betting. For TMU Today, I'm Maya Zayed.
The SLC hosted the successful peer-to-peer market showcase this week. With more on the market, here's Navi Kellen.
TMU students in the Zone Learning Project class had a market showcase of their products and ideas this week in the Student Learning Center. The market, which ran from April 8 to April 11, allowed entrepreneurial students to conduct business with fellow TMU students and staff while gaining valuable knowledge and skills. The types of projects range widely from food, fashion, and accessories to media, music, and more. OTR spoke with Catherine Dias of Tiger Lily Collections about her experiences in the class and her business.
Okay. So what skills have you learned in TMU's class?
A lot of skills. I actually didn't know how to make jewelry beforehand. Hadara, who is my partner on this project, we had made a bunch of stuff last semester for a different class to fund our project. We actually made jewelry, and I had made the scrunchies that were, I crocheted them. So I learned how to make jewelry now, which is an entirely new skill, so that was really cool.
A fellow classmate, Simran Garcha, hosts a podcast called Pro Bono Voices by SG due to her passion and interest for law.
A great way for students to come together and kind of support each other. And in terms of like what the course actually is, it's all dependent on the student themselves. So it's just about their passion, what they're passionate about, what project they're passionate about. So for example, me, I'm passionate about the law. I'm passionate about pro bono legal services. So I decided to do a podcast on pro bono legal services, and the instructor JP helps us along the way and provides us with a lot of support. And the benefits of this course is that the peers in the class are also working on their project, so they're like-minded individuals that also offer you a lot of support and engagement. JP, also the instructor, provides a lot of like connections, so if there's someone that he thinks that would be able to support us, he'd refer us to that person.
Actually, it's actually just really, like, genuinely, it is actually just nice to interact with students.
And it's like a passion project.
Yeah. We're kind of just here, like, it's very different than last time. Like, last time we had to make money to fund our project. This time it's more like, this is like a fun hobby that we can make hopefully a little bit extra cash on. Hopefully give some students, like, jewelry that's actually affordable. Because we don't even, I think our most expensive thing is $12. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Past members of the Zone Learning Project include Ria Arora, whose company is South Asian Yard for queer South Asian individuals, Jane Sauerlasik, whose company is Swapware, a brand that invented the first jacket with swappable art, and many more. The Zone Learning Project is taught by JP Silva, who helps his students with mentorship and innovation in their passion projects. Students can enroll in ZON 100 or ZON 200 in order to take the class and be able to showcase their ideas at the end of the semester. I'm Navi Kellan with On the Record News.
And if you're in the mood for more fun this weekend, you can experience two more days of rich flavors of Philippines at Square One, where Navi is again with more on their Filipino Food Festival.
For any foodies, the KNI Filipino Food Festival at Square One will be perfect for you. Hosted by Kainana Inc., a not-for-profit organization of unified Filipino food vendors, this festival will be running until April 14th at 7 p.m. Organizer Janet Lee discusses how the festival falls in the perfect time to celebrate the 75 years of official friendship between the Philippines and Canada, and offers a fusion of Canadian and Filipino food.
We incorporated some Canadian flavors to mark the this milestone. So we created a CC poutine. So have adobo burger with ketchup chips. It's a fusion. It's a Filipino Canadian fusion flavors that we've incorporated. Not all of the food.
K&I is meant to support Filipino small businesses, including those that may not be as strong as others, so the Filipino community can still flourish in their business endeavors.
We are actually a not-for-profit organization. We realize the importance of, collaboration, camaraderie, and basically just lifting each other up. So we did that. And then every time we have other events, we negotiate for prices, we negotiate for the rates. We try to work together so that some of the vendors who are a little smaller and a little more unstable than the others can piggyback with the other more stable and more established businesses. Part of the vision that we have as an organization, a not-for-profit organization, is really to create awareness that Filipino food does exist, and we are not just pancit, and we are not just lumpia, and we are not just adobo and ube. We are more, we are very diverse.
The festival offers a high tea, takeout, or dine-in options, and is incredibly popular already. For foodies that would like to try some classic Filipino dishes and fusion dishes, they can go to the Food District at Square One in Mississauga until the 14th. This is Navi Kalan with On the Record News.
It's been a busy semester for the OTR Newsroom. We've covered protests for all causes, Q&As, and more to make sure our readers are well informed. Here's Julia Lawrence to review some of our top stories from the winter masthead.
Hi, I'm Julia Lawrence of On the Record. And we've had a busy but fun semester here in the newsroom, from covering stories on the cap on international students, phishing scams, to dog safety in the city and family influencers. Our team has been working around the clock to cover stories that are important to you. And without further ado, let's take a moment together to reflect on our top stories this semester. On the broadcast side, Talia Saley warned the OTR audience about phishing scams. After speaking with cybersecurity and online crime experts, Talia put together an interesting broadcast, which we'll now take a moment to play back for you.
According to a survey by Deloitte last year, Gen Z is three times more easily fooled by online scams and twice as likely to have their social media accounts hacked compared to older generations. Amongst university students, rental and job scams are the most common, said David Coffey, a detective at the Financial Crimes Unit at Toronto Police Service.
Now more closely tied to our city, our next top story comes from Stephen Batar, who takes us to the dog parks in Toronto. One of the dog owners Stephen spoke with was personally affected by a case where their dog ingested a drug found in a syringe, left in the dirt, and later passed away. Stephen shared that the dog owner sympathized with those who are dealing with homelessness and addiction issues, but are also calling on city officials to do more to make the park safe as well as help those in need. A more recent story on an intimate subject, Ishita Chopra wrote about how South Asian immigrant women are less likely to get a pap smear in Ontario due to cultural and social factors, like believing that it marks them as sexually promiscuous. Here's Ishita for more on her reporting experience.
So the biggest problem that I was having with my stories was finding sources, finding voices who can speak on their personal opinions. I had a lot of voices, professional expert voices, but no human voice telling that their own concerns. And I think that spoke to the widespread of hesitancy that already exists. And I feel like as a South Asian woman myself, I felt that it was my duty to maybe help amplify the voice that already exists and make women around me much more comfortable with the thought of getting pap smears, which is basic healthcare, and they should be able to access that without any cultural significance or cultural misconceptions that are weighing them down.
This has been a wonderful term for the OTR newsroom, where our homepage has always had a diverse range of stories for you to scroll through. So thank you to you, our readers, for following us throughout the semester, to our instructors of OTR, and to the entire OTR masthead for their consistent reporting throughout the semester. I'm Julia Lawrence with On the Record.
Well, it was an eventful week in the sports world. Here's Stephen Buttar with your weekly recap.
Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Buttar, and here's your weekly sports recap. After a 10-game road trip, the Toronto Blue Jays returned home this week. On Monday, the Jays played against the Seattle Mariners on their home opener day. The first pitch was thrown by well-liked Jose Barrios at 7:07 p.m. The team faced a bit of a rough start to the season, as the Jays went 4-6 in their first 10 games, which were against the Tampa Bay Rays, Houston Astros, and the New York Yankees. The team is playing in the newly renovated Rogers Center, which recently underwent renovations to include better seating and new family-oriented spaces. And more from Toronto sports. Former Toronto Raptor Vince Carter is to be inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. The announcement was made in Arizona, the site of the 2024 NCAA Men's Final Four. Carter played 22 NBA seasons. He began his career with the Raptors from 1998-2004, quickly gained fame for his playing style. Carter is the only NBA player in history to play in four different decades. He is one of the very few who earned an Olympic gold medal with the U.S. men's basketball team in 2000. And finally, things are looking good for the Canadian women's ice hockey team as they advance to the Women's World Hockey Championship quarterfinals. The playoff bracket was secured following Tuesday's game, and it was announced that Canada would be facing off against Sweden. The team is in great shape following their 5-0 win over Czechia on Sunday in New York, where the team was led to victory by left wing Kristen O'Neill. The 26-year-old Oakville native led Canada in 2 points with 2 goals, 2 assists after 3 games. Sarah Nurse also contributed to a pair of assists, and goaltender Anne-Renée Desmonds posted a 13-save shutout in her second win of the season. That's all for sports this week. I'm Stephen Buttar. Back to you in the studio.
With slightly warmer and cloudy days ahead, let us take a look at the weather report with our very own Ishita Chopra.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ishita Chopra, and thank you for joining me today for the weather report. After what feels like a never-ending winter, we officially touched double digits in the past couple of days in Toronto. But of course, as we're set to enjoy our Friday, Toronto is seeing rain throughout today, with the high of 11 degrees and low of 5 degrees. In fact, we're seeing rain throughout the board today. The surrounding areas are looking similar to Toronto, with places like Hamilton, Brampton, and Mississauga enjoying 11 degrees. However, some areas are expected to be slightly cooler, as Guelph tips to 9 degrees and Kitchener to 8 degrees. The upcoming forecast, though, is looking rather gloomy, as we are seeing a mix of cloud and rain throughout the next 5 days. Tomorrow, we're seeing more or less the same day as today, with the high of 12 degrees and lows of 5 degrees. It is expected to be a cloudy day. On Sunday, I would recommend staying at home and enjoying a well-deserved lazy day as it's set to rain. We are seeing the highs of 10 degrees and the lows of 7 degrees. As we start a new week, the sun is peeking out, and we're expected to enjoy a day of 14 degrees and the lows of 8 degrees on Monday. Followed by Tuesday, we are seeing scattered showers with the high of 12 degrees and lows of 10 degrees. And finally, on Wednesday, we are seeing the highs of 14 degrees and the lows of 11 degrees. Though this upcoming weather is not the most ideal, but at least we are not expecting to see any snow. But as always, these forecasts are subject to be unpredictable, just like the city. Thank you for joining me for the weather report. I hope you have a successful final season, and remember to take care of yourself during this time. I'm Ishita Chopra. Back to you in the studio. Let's round out the week with some entertainment news. With more, here's Sonia Ali.
I'm Sonia Ali, and here are your entertainment updates. The next season of the hit Netflix series Bridgerton is underway. Bridgerton star Nicola Coughlan, who appears as Penelope Featherington, is set to be next season's primary focus, but she has implemented her unique guideline to be on the show. Coughlan has included a PG version of the new season in her contract for her conservative family to be able to watch, as the show is extremely well known for its provocative scenes. The uncensored version of the Bridgertons next season will be coming out on May 16th. In other news, Beyoncé's 6-year-old daughter has made music history by becoming the youngest female to ever chart on the Billboard Hot 100. Although her daughter, Rumi Carter's contribution was brief, her involvement can be seen on Beyoncé's new country album, Cowboy Carter. This album has also made Beyoncé the first Black woman to claim the number one position on Billboard's top country album charts. Finally, Gypsy Rose Blanchard files for divorce from her husband, Ryan Anderson. The American former convict turned star made headlines with her marriage story with special education's teacher, Ryan Anderson. Anderson was allegedly surprised by the decision to separate taken by Blanchard, and Blanchard sure moved on quick. She was recently spotted with her ex-fiancé, Ken Erker, less than a week after confirming the breakup with Anderson, and even got a matching dog tattoo with Erker. That's all for entertainment this week. I'm Sonia Lee. Back to you in the studio.
That's all for On the Record this April 12th, 2024. I'm Ishita Chopra.
And I'm Matt Sheridan. On behalf of the entire team at OTR, thanks for tuning in this year. We'll be back in September. Have a great break.